Good morning, everyone. So, as Cassie said, my name is Moses. it's great to see you all. I just want to see by show of hands, who have you experienced God's healing touch this morning? Just keep it up there. Okay, cool. Can we just rejoice and celebrate? Just praise God. Yes, Lord. Let's do it one more time. Like, we're really excited that Jesus just healed bodies that were sick, that couldn't be healed. All right, can we do that? Go celebrate. Yes, Lord! Father, we don't want to take this for granted. You are our healer. You said it, and Lord, you are keep on healing our bodies, Lord, so that we can tell of your name, that we can tell of the healer, that we can tell of the one that can bring life to our mortal bodies, Lord. And we praise you this morning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be exalted in our lives, and Lord, let this overflow into this valley out here in Wellington, in Paul, in Van Wijksvlei, in Bukwini, in Riebeek. God, I trust you. Let there be an overflow from our lives, Lord, of what you are doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have the privilege to share the word this morning. And if you've been around here for the past 3 weeks, 2 weeks, you'll notice that we've been doing a series on hospitality. So in the first 2 weeks, Mike was preaching and basically touched on stuff like hospitality is something we do for Jesus, a practical action done for the least of these, of eternal significance. And then when we welcome him in, we see God. This last week, there's like really relationship, reward, retribution, the three kind of words that Mike used. And today, we're going to, so if you did not necessarily follow the previous 2 weeks, I want to encourage you to go download, because a lot of the why and the what was in that components. Today is, are we going to do this? So it's going to be very practical. We're actually going to mention some practical things today. So trust that you will fasten your seat belts, because we're getting ready to do something. All right. So I want to start off with the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 8. And it says, Gavin, waar is jy? Gaan sit ge agter die drome, asseblief. It's not in the scripture. Sorry, Gavin is not there. Yeah, I just had a thought. Okay, so I'm going to read this first verse, and then I want you to hit that symbol like as loud as you can, okay? Not too loud, because we don't want to chase people away, but just hit it. All right, so it says, if we speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. All right, cool. So we're just making noise. Thanks, Gavin. All right. All right. Cool. Yeah, you can give him a hand. He made some noise here for us. But it's like, if we don't have love, we're just making noise. If we have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if we have faith that can move mountains, even pray for the sick, they will be healed. But we do not have love. It is nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, if I show hospitality and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Okay, I added hospitality in there. All right. But if I show hospitality, but it's not from a place of love, what motivates me is love, then it's just some noise. It's just somebody said I need to open up my home, and I do it. But it's just a gong. It's a sounding. It's nothing. I gain nothing. And then it goes, for love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. If we don't do this from a place of love, it's nothing. It's empty. God, who has given us this amazing opportunity to show His love by opening up our homes, by sharing love through when people walk into these doors. And that, for me, is the driving factor for me. It's like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, for Christ's love compels us. That's what compels us. Now, I want to just share a very interesting illustration with you right now. If you can put on my images there. If you've watched the movie Ferdinand, okay, it's very funny, no? It's like, I've enjoyed it. Over the holidays, we watched it with the kids. But there's this one scene in this movie that I just want to highlight that really stood out for me. So, Ferdinand is this friendly bull. He loves smelling flowers. That's just his character. That's the bull up there. That's Ferdinand. Here on my left is Nina, and that's Lupe. All right, so I introduce you to these three characters. Now, I just want to highlight these three characters in my preach this morning. So, Ferdinand is this loving bull that is big. He grows up on this farm where all of them are being prepared for bullfights with a matador, and it's like what they live for. But Ferdinand wants to smell flowers. He doesn't want to fight. He just want to get out there. So, he escapes from that farm, and he ends up in this house of this little girl called Nina. And he grows up in the midst of Nina, and there's so many flowers. They actually sell flowers, so he can smell as many flowers. And Nina just loves him. She feeds him carrots, and in this time, Ferdinand, this little bull, grows up to be that big bull. And something happened that Ferdinand, he was a bull in a china shop. He broke some stuff, and just some awkward things that happened. And he managed that they caught him and took him back to that farm where he came from. But from the moment that he got there, he just wanted to break out of this car and get out of there. And that's where he meets Lupe. She is a calming goat. So she comes into this, say, give him the calming goat. And she says, breathe in, out. She's nothing but very attractive. She's just like an outcast. She regurgitates flowers and just this ugly kind of, you see that? But unlovable kind of creature. But Ferdinand, he just tells her in this one moment, he says, I want to break out of this farm. I'm not going to stay here anymore. I want to go back to Nina, where she loved me. We had love. I experienced love there. And this Lupe says, love? What is love? And she's just this unlovable kind of creature, and she didn't know what is love. So Ferdinand says, now, help me to get out of here, and I'll take you to Nina. So a lot of stuff happened. They break out of this farm, and they end up, and it's the final scene. He just won the bullfight. I'm not going to tell you everything. And then he gets to this point, and Nina sees Lupe. She runs to Lupe. She throws her arms around her and hugs her. And Lupe looks at Ferdinand. He says, is this love? And Ferdinand gives her this nod. Yes, it's love. And she goes, I love love. And just that scene for me is, I love love. And it's just stood out for me. And I think in this world where we live, there are people that has a desire to be loved. This desire to be loved. Like Lupe, she didn't know love. And we have this opportunity to open up our homes to love. To share our lives with people. And I can just imagine, it's like people who walk through our doors and say, is this love? I love love. And it's just, Christ's love compels us, and love covers a multitude of us. There's something of the love of God that makes showing hospitality so inviting, so real. How many of us walk through these doors and you see, like, you encountered love? And it's just like, John Wimber says this thing. He says, there are various reasons why people come to church. But it's only true relationships that will keep them staying. And if there's true love, if there's true love in our midst, that's what's going to help us grow and invest in people's life. And maybe you're a visitor here this morning, and you're just like coming into an in-house, like meeting as a family, where we want to just make sure that when we are together as a church, we want to be a church where we love the lupus, the unlovable, that maybe the kind of people that don't feel that kind of love, but that we share the love of Christ. Now, there's a very strong correlation. Maybe you can go on. I'll just see. Okay, cool. All right, so there's a very strong connection between an open heart and an open home. So if you have an open heart, it means that your home will be open. It's like open heart equals open home. And many times we don't have open homes because we have issues in our hearts. We have things that we have to deal with, things that we have to get through and deal with. And so I'm going to mention some things that I think are some issues that we have to battle for to actually open up our homes. We have to deal with the heart. So the first thing is a crowded heart. So if you can show that first picture for me, please, Cassie. No, just go to the next one. All right, where is it? It's blank. Are we getting there? Not. 5, 4, 3. All right. So somewhere while I'm speaking, it's just going to pop up there. But it's a picture of a very overcrowded, as she says, wait. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Okay, so I think many of our lives are like that. We are so crowded. We don't have space to open up our home. We're so busy. And as you just make time to spend, can't you see how my life is looking? It's just like if we can fit somebody on there, it's going to be a miracle. It's like I can't get anything into my life. I'm just so crowded. I'm so overwhelmed with life and it's too busy. And you want me to open up my home? Remember, the motivation is love. And every yes that we say to one thing is a no to another thing. So somewhere we'll have to go and say no to certain things so that we can make space and make room. Because an open heart equals an open home. And dealing with that crowdedness and that busyness of our life and to actually make space and trust the Lord. Maybe you don't know how to solve that problem. Maybe it starts by praying. It just says, Lord, I want to open up my home. But I'm just so busy. I'm just, show me how to do this. Even if it starts just with a prayer. And you'll see if God can heal a body in this place. He can help you to solve that problem. To get your home where you can show the love of Christ. Cool. The second thing, you can just move on. The second thing might be pride. It might be you want everything to be perfect before you allow somebody into your home. And it's like, if it's not perfect, I don't want anybody in my house because it needs to be clean. It needs to be perfect. I can't let anyone see. But we all have junk in our house. Where do you hide your junk? In that room where you close the door or behind the couch? The dust underneath the carpet, there's junk and there's dirt. But, I mean, we cannot let pride hinder us from letting people into our lives because God has given us this mandate to love and to show hospitality. All right. Another thing that can hinder us is shame. I don't want others to see where I live. I don't want them to see what I eat, what I drink. I remember the first time I went to drink coffee with Mark Claassen, and he said to me, we're going to drink hospital coffee. I said, what? Hospital coffee? That just means it's not fancy coffee. It's just what you get in the hospitals. So, and I said, that's fine. We can drink hospital coffee. And it's not, we shouldn't let our kind of think this person likes this coffee. I can't invite them. No, it's just, I'll drink whatever, and even if it's just drinking water, we cannot be ashamed and lying people into arms. We have to deal with the shame in our hearts. Maybe you're ashamed of how you cook, or maybe how your children act, or whatever, but we have to deal with the with the shame of our hearts and open up our homes so that we can love people. All right, and then Fritz is going to share a point quickly.
Mo asked me to share on privacy because I can I can do it. But I'm going to try and I'm a private person, as you can tell. But I'm going to try and structure it nicely. Okay, get serious now, Debs. You need to listen. So I think for me, I'd like to ground everything in theology because I don't move easily. So I've got to be convinced that it's the Word of God. Now just bear this as a background. The Bible says that the Word of God is mighty and it can break down any strong tower. So just remember, the Word of God sits here, and whatever we experience needs to submit to that. So as I go through life, and I don't change that quickly, but when I change, I have to be persuaded that it's the Word of God that's changing me. And you know, so sometimes I experience, I don't want to open my home. I don't want to share everything with people. But then I have to look and say, is this what the Word of God says? And I've got to submit myself under the Word of God. If I don't do that, then I'm not a disciple. Because a disciple follows where his master leads. If he did it, then I need to do it. So now you'll ask me, okay, but how does hospitality and opening my home, what's the doctrine for that? And my doctrine where I see that fit in is the Bible says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like leaven. So basically it infiltrates from the inside outwards. And how can leaven influence anything if it doesn't mix with it? So I had to just to come to terms with the fact that, you know what, I need to mix. I need to open up my life. I need to get over this privacy issue because it's my issue. It's not God's issue. So that's the thing. If we can't start, I think the way God does it is, we start opening up. Well, for me, I was slow. Some people are just like that. My wife, Nelly, is open all the time. I'm not like that. And maybe that's why we met and got married, and that's why we're a good couple. But the thing is, if you don't start in the house of God opening up, what's the chances you're going to share with the outside world? How can you, being a close person, share the gospel, which is ultimately, and give glory to God, if we're not open with people around us? Just no way it's going to happen. So just practically for us, I think we've been in this church 12 years, so it's taken me more or less half of that to open up. But I'm sure you can do better than that. But I know Eugene and Laura were the first couple to invite us to, they had a breakfast, a bring and bride breakfast with bacon. And Nelly and I went, and it was, yes, it was a stretch. But we went. And we met a few people. And the next time we went, it was less of a stretch. So, and then we started going to to communities or home cells, as we call it. The thing is just for me, if you can just get the doctrine in it, because I've got to be moved by faith. I know that's where I need to move. Get your heart first, then your body will follow. So when we change our heart, we started moving. Okay, it was slow initially, but we started moving in the right direction. And I think the thing that I want to encourage you, get a direction change. Maybe the first thing you have to decide today is, I want to follow God with all my heart. Make sure that I want to say to you, God's word says he wants to make us the leaven of the world. And for that, you've got to mix. That you've got to get into your heart. And then start taking slow steps. Maybe you've never been to a function. The only way you're going to get to people, why do you think we arrange men's camps or communities or leaders' evenings? These things we do to facilitate this thing amongst one another. And if we've got it facilitated amongst one another, that's when we start opening our hearts. So take small steps. Go into a community. Start joining a men's camp or a ladies' meeting. There's a ladies' meeting next week. So I hope that helps. But I've decided to follow God, and he's still persuading me of other things. And I might not move as fast as I should, but I'm moving. And I think that's the best thing. I hope you can start moving. Amen.
Cool. I want to say something naughty now, but I'll keep quiet. All right, so let's just move on. Okay.
All right. So another issue of the heart that we have. So first, we have to deal with the crowdedness of our lives. We have to deal with pride. We have to deal with shame. Maybe it depends on, maybe you have to deal with all of them, or maybe you just have to deal with one of them. But it depends on, you know your heart. You know, why are you closing your heart towards this? And then the other thing, maybe you had a bad past experience by opening up your home or sharing your life, and it just wasn't nice. And you just decide, if that's it, I'm not going to do it. It won't, maybe the next time won't be the same. So just step out and do it again. And just trust the Lord that as you are faithful with what He has given. Remember that the motive is love. The motive, what drives us, what compels us, is to love and to welcome a person in as we welcome in Jesus. And that was the whole thing. It's like we have to deal with these past experiences. And maybe you invited somebody and they walked your floor dirty, or they didn't wash your dishes, or their kids jumped on your couch, or whatever the experience was. But it's we can't allow these past experiences to hinder us to not open up our hearts and open up our homes at the end. And then maybe there's a fear that you have to deal with. Maybe the fear of your children, safety, maybe possession. I don't know. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us love, power, and a sound. That's what God has given us. And we can't allow fear or past experiences or I'm a private person or pride or anything of those things to hinder our hearts to stay close towards people, because an open heart equals open homes. And that's something we have to contend for. And maybe you have to start praying. Say, God, which areas of these I need to pray in, I need to get breakthrough in, so that I can share my life with others. Now, this morning we're going to, the next section of the preach is going to be very practical. So the first part is like the motivation is really that we love, and it's not just about doing it because it's kind of something that's put on us, but it's we're driven by this love for people, and we want to open up our homes. And then we have to deal with our hearts, and that's the second component, is to really trust the Lord that He will deal with the hearts. But now that we have dealt, we're still busy dealing with the heart, but now that we have just looked at that, how does that look practically? So I've asked Sean, and Teresa is also going to share some practical things of here on a Sunday or in your home that you can do to help you to host and love people. So Sean, here you go.
I got the memo about green jersey. Fritz didn't get the memo. Okay, one more naughty thing. No. So Fritz says he was moving. I can guarantee he was moving yesterday when he drove past my house on the motorbike. I saw him. But I didn't recognize him. It took me a while. Okay, enough naughty things. So Maurice has just asked me to share a bit about, especially on a Sunday meeting, how we've approached visitors and so on. So I want to use a story of my life. I did TMT for 3 years, and then after TMT, I went to Russia. I lived in Russia for 1 year, and then I went to South Korea, and eventually we came back to South Africa, and we became part of this congregation again. And I went to Russia with, obviously I used English to get there so I could live there, but I wanted to be part of the churches and to reach out to Russians. And the thing that, the testimony about Moscow was this, that you don't ever go onto the street and talk to people about Jesus, because they will insult you, they will reject you, nobody will talk to you, nothing like that. And that was the case sometimes. And a lot of what I did with another group of people is we would go on the streets and we'd do a survey and we'd talk to Russian people. And eventually we could get churches and we'd train their people to go with us. And I could guarantee, 90% of the church people who had this idea that you don't speak to Russians on the street, 90% of them came back to us and said, wow, it's so easy. People just want to talk to us. people, you know, people are actually interested in talking about faith and those types of things. And I want to tell you that it was not easy for me to speak to people that I didn't know. It's still not easy today. The struggle that I had when I was in TMT was the same struggle that I had in Russia. It's the same struggle I had in South Korea. It's the same struggle that I have today. It's to start that conversation. It's to break the ice. But once I'm in that conversation, you know, we can talk about things. And that's what I want to encourage you today. To walk across the room in this place. There will be people in our midst that you don't know. And this is a training ground for you as well. If there's somebody you don't know, set yourself a goal of one person on a Sunday to talk to one person that you don't know. And I want to encourage you with give you two sort of guidelines. Number one, it's not don't make a huge task of it for yourself. Number one, it's just start a conversation. Just start a conversation. It can be about the weather. This morning was easy. It's misty. It's so misty this morning, you know. And there's the conversation started, and let it go from there. And the second one is to invite somebody, invite someone, invite them to have a coffee afterwards. Invite them perhaps to your place. Invite them to come and help you cook a meal or something like that. So just start a conversation, and then, you know, by God's grace, you can invite somebody somewhere or to do something. I'd rather say invite someone to do something. Then there's less pressure on you. And, you know, Paul also said in Galatians 3, you started by faith. You know, why are you trying to finish by the flesh? And I just want to link on to what Maris is saying is coming to Christ, there's somebody who steps out, somebody who's open, and perhaps you have to be open and vulnerable and open yourself up to accepting Christ. And we're going to continue like that for the rest of our lives. God wants you to continue in that way of being open, being vulnerable, dealing with those issues. And in the same way, continue to be open with people in your life. And in that way, you're going to continue to grow in God. And you're going to impart the life of God to one another as you continue to be open. It's not always just to strangers. It's going to be to your best friends. It's going to be to the people who are walking with you in the Lord as well. So start and continue.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, I think it's just the sense that people get when they meet us here on a Sunday is the good shopping experience. My wife, she doesn't like shopping when it's not a good shopping experience. So if the experience and the shop that she walks into is not nice, she just not buy anything. She'll walk out. And I think sometimes people meet us and how do they experience us as a person? Even if it's taken every bit of courage in your being to just start that conversation. Smile while you're doing it. Last week I realized like it was a new couple here and they asked, is there kind of next gen for the kids? And I said, yes, there. And I pointed to them. And this week while I was reading on hospitality, they say, don't point them to where it is. Take them there. I was like, so maybe you'll have aha moments in this journey of hospitality. But just step out. Walk to the other side of the room and just start loving people as they're coming in. People come in here and you don't know what their week has been. You don't know what, but you're just encouraging. You just sharing your life and just loving on them. It can maybe let them leave with the sayings. I love love. And it's just like the sense of just being loved in a family of God. That's what we're aiming for. We're not perfect in that yet. And you know what? I'm going to give over to Teresa now. But I just want to celebrate just something that we have stepped out just with the Alpha Course. And the communities are serving and making food. It's been amazing just to have the church involved. And I want to thank you, everyone that has been already making food and just showing up and serving and setting up tables. It is really making people feel welcome. So it is there. It's definitely there in our midst. But this is something we're aiming for, something that people would walk, come in here and sense, I've been loved. Through that they can meet their Savior and grow in the Lord. Okay, Teresa, so it's your...
Dankie, Mark. Goeiemôre. Okay, so I've got a few pointers, and I put a few more meat into it that I'm going to run through, because sometimes we like, okay, we want to open up a house, but we've got sometimes a false expectation on yourselves, and people are coming, got maybe also a false expectation how it's going to be, and you don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to give a few pointers. Some of you guys are great at it, so continue. Some of you don't know, so take it from there. So I hope you can learn something. Okay, first of all, when you open up your house, it doesn't mean, first the woman I want to speak to you, it doesn't mean you need to do everything. It doesn't mean you need to go take out the best of everything. Keep it plain and simple. If you use your orange plates for your family, you can use your orange plates when you invite people as well. You don't have to go take out the white plates with a silver little rand around that your mom bought you when you got married or whatever. Okay, I've got to say it like that. So you are very special when I take that out. Now I'm joking. So I want to say to you, keep it plain and simple. Like for instance, food-wise, soup and brood. We were Thursday at Tinus and Manette, you made lovely soup. And we sat on the couch and ate it. You don't need to set even a table to invite people. There's different ways you can do it. So the first point is keep it plain and simple. If you have a braai, it doesn't have to be steak and chops. It's expensive. At Spa, pork chops are cheap. Ask Christelle, she's got a lovely recipe how to make it nice. And or just wors. And it's fine to say to people, when you come over and say, we're going to have a wors braai or boere wors rolls. You make a smoortje and you just braai wors. Okay. Did I say it right? Smoortje. Yeah. So you can keep it plain and simple. I'm going to try to stick on my notes, otherwise I'm going to wara wara. Okay, another thing is, it doesn't always have to be a meal. It can be coffee and tea with biscuits, or if you want to bake a cake or milk tart or whatever, but it doesn't have to be this big meal. It can be just come over for the afternoon and have coffee and tea and biscuits. Another thing is, lovely to hear about the breakfast. A breakfast idea is excellent. A Saturday morning, invite a few people over for breakfast, and then you've got the rest of the day still open. And that is where I want to get to the next point, is time frame. It also doesn't have to be a long thing. A lot of people don't want to invite people over because it's like, it's going to take up my whole day, and I still got other things to do. But if your heart is right, yeah. But time frame, be practical and say, okay, come over from, if it's a breakfast, come over from 9 to, what's 2 uur later, 11 uur, 9 to 11. Or if it's an afternoon thing, come over from 12 to 2. If it's a cook and tea thing, come over from 3 to 5. We've got children. Some mommies say, I can't because children need to go to bed and I need to bath them. You can imagine, ladies, we go like that. Then just be practical and say, okay, honey, we can invite people over, but by 5 o'clock, I want to put little one in the bath or whatever. So make it then from 2 to 4. So we can make a time. The only thing is we need to plan. If you plan properly, we can do this. Okay. Then, a culture of bring and share. I saw this is something that can creep in and make it not a nice experience if everything falls on the person that hosts, that you do everything. As a family, I want to encourage us all that we do it together and learn to share. If we make chicken a la king, ask the other people to bring a pot of rice. If it's a breakfast, ask one please to bring maybe grated cheese, the other one bring a broekie. And also be wise in it. Everyone doesn't have a lot of money to bring something. Ask people to bring something that is not expensive. If you're the one that hosts and you've got a little bit more means, you make the big meal and ask the people to bring little things. But it's all about the sharing. I've started to do something, salad for instance. If I'll make a salad, I'll leave that for last. So when the people come, I say, ach, help me, how am I going to make it? It's about doing things together. It's not you do everything and the people arrive and it's like, come sit. Sometimes it's like that, but it's the whole idea of sharing together as a family, doing things together. And if you really want to say, okay, it's a spoil time, you really don't have to bring something. The youth, the youngsters usually would just say, bring juice or something. But I just don't want us as a family to start to feel like is a false expectation that you put on the other person. If you get there and you do everything, so when I do it, I need to do everything. And everyone doesn't have the means to give everything. So just share. Do you understand that one? Okay. What did I say more? Oh, another fun thing is to that also, because usually everything falls on the women, usually to prepare the food in the kitchen. I know there's excellent men cookers. I know it. My husband can make lovely Thai food. But do a fun evening, like, for instance, okay, tonight we're going to do Italian. And you all come together, bring the ingredients together, and have an Italian night. Asian, this is actually very cheap food, actually, to make Asian food. Everyone just bring the ingredients, and you just put everything together, put on the rice, and you all make it together, and sit together and kayer. Actually, it's so nice times just to kayer in the kombuis. Okay. So that is one. Other one is, oh, there's more practical now. Some of you feel it's difficult to open up your house, like Mo said, because you don't have a means, you don't maybe have a table. I remember when I stayed in a little compartment, I didn't have a table. My table was a box, just a plain box full of books, all my study books. And then I would just put a little tablecloth over that, and that was my little table. So, yeah, don't be ashamed. Let that shame go out the door and bring the people into the door. Okay. Invite them in. And if you can't cook a meal in your little place, just coffee and tea is fine. But there's other ways as well. So other ways is, like, for instance, what the singles will do, they will say, okay, who's got a house that we can have a get-together? And the singles, they club together and say, okay, come, let's invite people. So there are different ways of doing it. The other one is, this is my husband's thing, is to have a hosting point, like an open house. So this is something you can keep us accountable. This is something that we would like to start to do. It's for instance on a Friday night to open our house and say, okay, boerewors, braai, whatever, everyone bring the boerewors. We've got the fire. I'll make a salad. And it's just an open house that everyone can come there. You can be intentional of inviting people, but also open it that when I invite you, then you bring another friend. And you create that culture of an open house as a family just to care together. Let's see that. Oh. About the time frame thing that I said, that's the crowd at heart. If it really means like, I don't have time. I want to encourage you to just start with a 1 hour. Just start with a coffee and tea. Don't feel after today, now I need to cook meals and everything. Start small. Just like Sean said, get someone's number and say, hey, I would like to invite you for coffee. And plan it into your week. If you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. So I've got a calendar on my fridge. So I don't always write on it, but it just helps me to look at it. But I can look at it and say, okay, so Lavi, how does our month look like? Okay, so we can do one a week. This one we can do Thursday night. The next week we can do the Saturday morning. The next week we can do a Friday night. And the next week, oh, that is busy. Okay, let's make it Sunday, late afternoon, just for a coffee. So plan your month. You and your hubby sit together or your friends and say, okay, how can we every week get people over? And it doesn't have to be the same thing. So you know how to stretch yourself and you choose how to do that. You are never too crowded or too busy just to put an hour in. Okay. There's my other things. Okay, there are different ways to do it. So, of course, we want you to open up your house. That is what we want to do, open up your home. But there are different ways. Like, for instance, a Sunday after church. Of course, you need to plan it beforehand. But just to pack a little picnic and, well, it's a little bit cold now, but when it's summertime, and just to have picnic on the grass after church. That's the idea. We stay in beautiful Wellington. It's now summer ideas. Das Poole, net daar aan die kant Beinskloof. And to just say, listen, let's walk down there. It's amazing how to get to know people because it's quite a 20-minute walk or whatever. And you walk together. Watch sport together. Play games together. I know that happens a lot. People coming over and play games. But there are so different ways we can do that. Make it fun. So I know all of us can be creative, but stokbrood. If you have a fire going on in this children, make it fun for them as well. And maak like a stokbrood or marshmallow braai. sing along. Okay, that is, we funny people. Okay, every one of us can be like a mole, okay? So have fun, be like family. When people come over, just if you have a guitar or whatever, or put on songs and sing together and make a memory. I remember one night we invited people and we just laughed about the whole night. And when they left, they said, oh, can't remember when we laughed so much. We feel so light. So sometimes it's fine just to be funny and laugh. And if you have a guitar and it ends up into worship, awesome. But don't be too structured. Just have fun and just be open and be yourself. I said make it a weekly date on your calendar. Okay, then something that I want to ask is not to invite the same people over and over and over. Because that's easy. You call it the clicky. We call that a click. Okay. Just invite the same people. You almost need to try in this year to try to invite different people. And our other encouragement is the community that you're in. All those people in your community, have you invited all of them? But if I asked now if we were in our community group and 10 people in front of me, have all those 10 people been in my house? If they haven't been in your house, maybe that's a good point to start, because maybe you're struggling to get to know new people. Just start then with the people that you know. And if you finish with them, okay, now I've done this. I feel better. Okay, now, okay, I don't know you, sir. What's your name? Robert. I would like to get your number. We would like to invite you over to our house. Okay. Okay, so that's what you do. You just take a bold step. And you get their number, you write it down, and your word must be your honor. That's why I did it now. I must remember Robert, lovey. So you can ask me in a few weeks' time if Robert's been invited. Okay, so I hope this helps you. So ladies, really, it doesn't need to fall on yourself, everything on yourself. Let people help you, share, make salad together, and make it plain and simple.
I just had a picture of a prophetic chicken. So here is a really good thing that you can do. Get yourself a little hoenertjie, a hennetjie, nee? En dan voer jy nou die hennetjie al die scraps. En as die hoenertjie nou 'n eier lê, nee, dan moet jy iemand nooi vir breakfast. Dan vra jy vir die hoender, wie moet ek nooi? En dan gaan die hoenertjie sê, Jannie, of Sunny, verstaan jylle, het jylle daar jylle? So come on guys, get yourself a prophetic chicken. Let them lay an egg, and then you invite someone for breakfast. Amen?
Okay, so if you just want to, that's a grappie, okay. It's a joke, okay. Just want to say that. Cool. Wijn, wil jy gaan? Durban too? Okay. Ek sê Durban hoender? Okay. If you laugh at this joke, it tells you how old you are. Because those were the Leon Schuster days. Okay, cool. All right. So these are practical things that we can do to just open up our homes. And I think the aim that we need to remember, it's not about just spending money upon people. It's about spending time with people. And that's the aim. The aim is to share our lives and to really make sure that you create something where you can spend time with people. And however in your means, whatever you can bring, do that. And I just want to challenge us that in this week, I'm going to pray for us now, but I want to challenge that you'll go and make an I will statement. I will state in a sense like I will in set up, I will sit with my calendar and I will schedule these kayers with these people. And then I want you on Wednesday to share that with your comm leader. Can we do that? So you go think what you can do. Because, I mean, have you heard of, probably if you've been in the church like this one preacher that stood up every Sunday and he preached the same preach. And after the third Sunday, they ask him, so why? I mean, we've heard this sermon. It says, I'll keep on preaching this until we do this. And I think it's useless of knowing about hospitality and we're not doing it. And so this is in a sense like,
And I'm not saying we're not doing, there's a lot happening already, but it's just like, let's not hear the word and not do what, do the word and to respond. So can I challenge us with this statement? Go and write your I will statement. I'm going to invite so-and-so for a bride. That it can be as simple as that. Or I'm going to sit with my calendar and I'm going to schedule things in. Whatever your I will statement. And then you tell that to your comm leader. And if you're not in a comm leader, please come chat to me and I can help you find a comm. And it's amazing. We meet on Wednesday evenings also. We are not just a Sunday church. We're a church that wants to be in one another's homes on Wednesdays, on Mondays, Tuesdays. We want to be a church that reflect the life of Jesus, and that means spending time with one another. So can I say amen? Amen, amen. So do that. And then also I want to challenge you to find a time with the Lord and go and sit and say, Lord, is there any one of these issues that I have to deal with in my heart to overcome? So it's two things. Make an I will statement and go and sit with the Lord. Find a quiet time and say, Lord, is there anything that's causing my heart to be closed? And will you come and help me to overcome that? All right, it's homework, but I want you to just go and think about it and to really trust the Lord to come and help us to be His body on this in Wellington. And then I just want to close for us with a prayer. And you know what? And this is I don't know necessarily why, if you're a visitor here with us or you've been visiting us for a long while, and I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know if you've been in church I don't know where you are at. But I know something is, maybe you've been in church for your whole life, but you've never come to the place where you have given your life to Jesus, where you have surrendered to Christ. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, it's like our righteousness, all our good things that we can do is like filthy rags. We cannot come to God and say, Lord, I want to be in heaven and I want to set the terms. He sets the terms. He sets the terms in why He allows us into His heaven. And that's receiving Jesus. That's the only way. It's through Jesus. He is the way through the Father. That is something we have to deal with. And maybe this morning, you need to ask yourself a question. And I'm speaking to people that do not know Jesus right now. And I want to say, what hinders you this morning to give your life to Jesus? Is there anything that's stopping you to surrender your life to Jesus? Because He welcomed us into a family through His Son. And that invitation is there for you today also. So all you need to do, like Romans 10 speaks about this, like you need this morning, need to believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sin and He rose again. You need to believe that. You need to confess this morning that He is Lord of your life. And He will receive you into that family. And that is what this thing is all about this morning. And I want to just, you might be even be part of Josh and says, guys, why do you do this every Sunday? Man, if somebody's here today that want to commit their life to Jesus, I want to throw this every Sunday and make sure that if people are here, that they will find their Savior, they will find their Lord. And this is this moment. If you're sitting here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, can I maybe just ask everyone, just close your eyes. And just, if you're sitting here and you know I don't know Him, you know you've been maybe in church, maybe you've wandered off away from Him, but you want to come this morning, you want to say, Jesus, I receive You into my life. I believe that You died on a cross for my sins. I want to confess that You are Lord of my life. I cannot save me. I cannot save myself. I need a Savior and I need You, Jesus. Is there anyone this morning that want to say, Jesus, here I am? Can you just quickly slip up your hand? Let me just see. If there anyone here this morning that want to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to You. This side. Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else? Just ask yourself, is there any good reason why I should not give my life to Jesus? Is there any reason that should hinder me to not respond today to this amazing invitation in Christ Jesus? We've got one hand. Is there anyone else before I pray for us? Even if you wanna, if you've wandered away from Him and you want to come back to Him this morning, I want to extend this invitation to you also. All right. So that you that put up your hand, can I maybe just pray with you afterwards, and we can just pray together. But Fritz met ek klaar maak sommer of jy iets. So let's just pray together, and then we can close this meeting. And I'm very excited. There's one person that has responded. So so we thank Jesus, and we're going to pray with him. But this is the best day of his life for eternity. And even if you did not put up your hand and you still want to maybe make that decision, please come to me afterwards. I'll pray with you also. This is your moment. This is your moment that the Lord wants to come and call you into his family. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for practical handles. Thank you for things that we can go and do. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come with your conviction upon our hearts, that we will not do this out of compulsion, but we will do this by the conviction of Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will come and lead us, that we will love your body, that we will love people that is unlovable, that we will love every other person, that we would be able, that people, if they encounter Justin Wellington's people, Lord, they will walk away and say, I love love. And I pray, Father, that you will leave that in our hearts. And I trust you, Lord, help us to do this. Help us to become a family that welcomes in the prodigals, welcomes in whoever walks through our doors. Lord, we trust you for a family that will love like you love, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy your lunch. Smile while you're eating it because it's good. You've made it. And then have a coffee with somebody. You can step out now across the room and invite somebody for a coffee. Let's scare a bit. I think coffee's going to be there, and there's coffee to be bought in Cafe Provence. If you're a visitor, remember to take your visitor slip to Cafe Provence, and you can get your free cappuccino. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.